You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing is precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Jake Volnick with the guys here from 7 to 11. We got Jax Gregory on the board as well. You heard him on the 2020s. Doing work behind the glass. Michael Markoch with us today. Today's given it's given Big Friday energy. That's a problem. They weren't for a bad store of whatever tomorrow brings. Not, of course, that you'll be able to tell on the air, and you should absolutely tune in 7 to 11, of course. But it's given Big Friday energy in the building today. And I'm just fearful for what that means. Not only for part of today's show, but also for tomorrow's show as well. But we're going to have fun. That's what you can take away from this. When it gives Big Friday energy, that means it's going to be a fun day. In which I'm going to probably get to a topic in which you guys aren't going to find very fun. Because it is now the part of when we talk about the Cavs, we have to talk what it looks like going forward, right? And we talked about it a little bit yesterday before we got the schedule release, and I felt like we left off at a really good spot to keep the conversation going. Because yesterday, we sort of started out with where this team's at and got to the idea that are the Cavs irreparable and sort of brought Donovan into the mix and what that means. I don't think that we're to a point where we stop the Donovan conversation. Because as I told you guys, I'm in full favor at this point. I still think the core four should probably stick together, not only because managing to move away from it and getting out of the second apron probably only makes you a worse team, but also you got a lot of young guys. You're beat up this year. While it's not an excuse, it's certainly, I don't think, was evident of what the team's possible and actually has the capabilities to be able to do. But at the same time, the conversations do need to be had. Like, if Kobe Altman goes into this offseason and is not having conversations about moving off of, and I mean basically every single one of those members, maybe not Evan Mobley, but everybody else is just about on the table, you're not doing your job. Right? Flat out, you're not doing your job if that's the case. You have to be able to at least explore those options, explore those possibilities and see if you can get better. And that goes for just about every offseason. And it's something that I don't think the Cavs really took into consideration last year. And it wasn't part of what they did last year because all of the blame fell on JB. Well, guess what? You're not placing all the blame on Kenny Atkinson this year. That's not how the playoff series went. It wasn't entirely on Kenny. I don't think it was a perfect series coached up by him. It certainly wasn't solely his fault. And you say, well, if we get a different coach, it'll be better. No, not down that road. But I do almost wonder, as you look at this team and we talk about the potential of moving away from one of your core four members, obviously the names that we see thrown around are Darius or Jarrett. And I think both those guys, you know, to some degree, yeah, it would make sense. But like I said, where we closed off yesterday was sort of trying to figure out how much of this postseason, how much of this playoff run, especially those last two games, you do attribute to Donovan. because there were times I'm looking at the floor, and sure, guys aren't hitting shots, but Donovan is a takeover player. Can't happen for four quarters of basketball. It can't be an entire second half. I think that was very evident in game two. I think that's been very evident over the last 4 to 5 years of Donovan's career when he walks out of a playoff exit and he has a lower body injury. It's consistent every single year. It's a calf strain. It's an ankle sprain. Something goes wrong every year that Donovan is nursing by the end of the playoffs. And of course, not that I blame the performance by any means. I mean, he went out there, battled, dropped 40 points in two separate nights in the final series for the Cavs this year. But you also didn't really empower your teammates in any way down that stretch to help you take over, to help close out a game. It was, hey, if you get the ball and you're open, we're expecting you to make a shot, but also Darius, Evan, good luck getting the ball. I'm going to take it. I'm going to do everything that's working, the only thing that's working. And that wasn't the Cavs' offense this year. That's the part that's bothering. If this is a team, I don't know, like the Memphis Grizzlies, and it's like, oh, it's all on Josh's shoulders in the fourth quarter. It's like, well, there's times this year and a lot of times this year where you got to the fourth quarter and it was all on Josh's shoulders. And that's the way that they've played basketball, and the way they've structured their offense is to revolve around Ja Morant. Cavs offense at no point this year was let's revolve around Donovan Mitchell. We applauded him and applauded Kenny for the backseat that Donovan took in allowing everybody else to shine and be better and take leaps forward in the progression. To the point where I look at the core four and I almost wonder if we're talking about a Cavs team competing in the future. And a team that is going to maximize what they're capable of doing, if Donovan not being there is a part of that equation. Right? And again, I'll reiterate, I'm in favor of keeping the core four together. I think you keep those guys together, but it is where I look at if you move off of one of them and financially one that would make sense for you, moving off of Donovan would be the easiest sell probably to another team, a competitive team that has players and assets to give up to actually go out there and compete and trying to get a star player back. You have to find a way to make the team actually live up to what they should be doing. And everybody on the team live up to what it is that they should be doing. And I think part of that in the playoffs and part of the reason that we look at this team as a whole not being successful, I think one of those factors is the fact that Donovan takes over. And I explained it yesterday, and it was an analogy brought to my attention by James Bridges of More Sun Station. You can hear him from time to time, one of our part-timers. But I was talking to him in the parking garage after the Cavs have lost, and he brought it up. It was like, it is a big brother, little brother situation sometimes, and it feels that way in the playoffs. Donovan takes over. And it feels like at times it's, hey, little brother, you know, don't worry, I got this one. And it's consistently, don't worry, I got this one. I just think it's something that everybody should have in their mind. If the Cavs considered moving off of Donovan this year, I don't think anybody should be surprised. And I think it should be definitely a part of the equation on the table, right? That it's a possibility that they go out there and do it. Kobe and you know Dan Gilbert, if he's in on those conversations, you should expect them to be open to that kind of talk. Again, not saying they'll do it, not saying I'm for them doing it, but everything has to be there. A Cavs team that does fail three times in a row, it's at least an option that you go out and you listen. Now, I've heard some wild things thrown out by people across... Listen, Nick's trade ideas today, I'm completely out on, okay? He drew up Darius for Tyler Hero straight up, and then Donovan Mitchell for Tyler Hero, Jaime Jaquez, Khalil Ware, and like three firsts. You're going to have to do better than that. I think Tyler Hero's a decent player. I don't think Tyler Hero's a fix-all to the Cavs' problems right now, if that wasn't evident enough in the playoff series they just played with him being the number one option, which very possibly he would be if he was here. Like, I want a solution, but every trade that you bring to the table, again, operating inside of the second apron would not be great. You'd have to get outside of it first, I think, to move on and make one of those deals. But the other big thing to consider is when you look at the championship window, right? And we go through and you say, all right, well, if we're going to keep this window open, understanding that operating in the second apron is something that you're going to have to do with Mobley's contract, Darius and Donovan, you're going to be over that apron. There's no way around it. And Jared Allen's only getting paid more money after this upcoming season, where it's going to be the extensions kicking in. He's making closer to $30 million a year instead of $20 million. You have to ask yourself that with Donovan Mitchell leading the charge, where is the window? And are you actually capable of going out and competing for a championship? And I think there's a world where a lot of those answers become you're closer to getting away from that window than you are entering the prime of it and it being alive. The Cavs have dealt with injuries top to bottom in multiple years now. It was Jarrett and Donovan last year. It was Evan, Darius, and DeAndre Hunter this year, and then Donovan at the end. Yeah, we talk about the injuries as part of the equation, but when it happens every single year, at some point, you can't just put it on and say, well, they were just injured this year. Guys, they've been injured for multiple years in a row. It's not a good enough excuse. And when you're talking about changing things up and actually going in and trying to make a change that switches things, I think Donovan is probably one of the key pieces you look at as part of that equation. And he has to be somebody that's on the table this year for Kobe Altman to potentially move off of if that's something they decide to do. Now, I don't necessarily think that's something Kobe would decide to do, but I imagine he'll field calls on it this year. And then you'd have to be banking on basically Evan Mobley taking a massive step forward, which is a whole other problem in itself. But it's where you stand. 216-474-0092. Could moving on from Donovan be the best move for the Cavs this offseason? You can also get to me on X at VolnickJake, V-U-L-I-N-E-C, Jake. So we can do our social media reactions. Powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Plenty of good stuff coming up for you guys tonight, including in 45 minutes here at 8 o'clock. We'll talk to our very own Cleveland sports beat reporter, Browns beat reporter, Dale Ryder. We'll talk to him. Schedule's out. What does that mean for the Browns? 9:20, we're going to talk to Danny Cunningham. Inside Shot Substack is well locked on Cavs. You can hear him on the station from time to time. We'll get his thoughts on the end of a Cavs season and what they're doing going forward. Yeah, the station buzz at 7:40. Get a grip at 9. We'll get to Change Your Mind with Michael later on in the show as well in the 10 o'clock hour. But right now, 216-474-0092. Could moving on from Donovan be the best move for the Cavs this offseason? We'll get to your calls and more coming up here in 5 minutes. It's Overtime with Jake Volnick with you guys here until 11.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
on the Fan. Good, moving on from Donovan B, the best move for the Cavs this offseason. Again, like, is it everything that I want to see? No, it most certainly is not. Where apparently a few people very mad by even the key idea of that on social media, where some of you guys get to be on X for social media reactions, powered by Scheibman Jewelers. Moving on from Mitchell, Jesus Christ, make it stop, says Nick, as well as, yeah, not even going to bother tuning into this nonsense from Ash. It would be quite unfortunate then if you went through in a Cavs offseason and that was actually something that's considered. Listen to any expert talk about it top to bottom. Now nobody's going to tell you trading Donovan is 100% something that they should do. I can near guarantee you when we talk to Danny, when we go through at 9:20, that he's going to say it's on the table. That it's something they have to consider. Like, I don't think moving on from Donovan is the best thing that they can do. By no means. But I also think it's something you have to consider. And I think there's a world where, yes, you may get better for the right deal by moving on from Donovan Mitchell. A deal that is realistic. And not just get better, but extend your window significantly. Right? Like, going through it and putting Donovan there. Again, great player, score. This regular season, he turned the Cavs into a top-tier, near-historic offense for several months by doing less, by not putting the weight of the world on his shoulders. In the depth of the Cavs showed through. Guys, I don't think that if we watched the playoffs when everybody was healthy, right, or quote-unquote healthy. Healthy is not the right word, but they were playing. They were playing through injury. Like, Evan Mobley was capable of playing. Darius Garland, while not playing very good games in those final two games, was still capable of being out on the floor. And you watch those games go by, and it still turned into Donovan saying, I need to do everything. I have to have the weight of the world on my shoulders. The ending of the game, and really most of the back half, just turned into Donovan saying, I'm going to take it to the cup, I'm going to draw contact, and I'm going to see if I can either get to the free throw line or try to spin something in. The Cavs did not do what they did historically all season long, and were doing it at an efficient rate all season long until the playoffs, which was shoot the three ball. And they did not eliminate the idea of trying to put the team on one person's back, trying to use a star in the lineup. That was Donovan. That was Donovan in the playoffs. He said, it's the playoffs. It's time for me to take over. That's not the mentality for this team to win. When you don't have what the national media considers a true superstar, a top 5 to 10 player in the NBA, it's not your job in those moments, the way that the Cavs have built this roster, to take over the team, to take over as the guy. That was not the goal for the Cavs going forward. In game two, I get it. Right? Nobody else could make anything. You had three of your top four guys off the floor. And Jared Allen, quite frankly, was very disappointing in the entire playoffs, especially the last two games where everyone was back. But the way that Donovan's play style is, he's going through and taking over a game and basically pushing your other pieces to the back line. Like, Evan Mobley did not have a chance to shine through in the second half of game five. There's very few possessions where they turned Evan Mobley. Inefficient. I think he finished the game 8 of 12 from the field. Inefficient Evan Mobley did not have a chance to take over in the second half. In a series that we all looked at and said, this should be an Evan Mobley dominant series. Right? He's got Pascal Siakam on him. And if there's help coming in the form of another big, it's Miles Turner. Evan Mobley should be able to dominate those two matchups. And he didn't have the opportunity in game five. And I don't think it was Evan not taking charge and him taking the backseat and saying, oh, here, Donovan, go have it. But when you have Donovan Mitchell on the team and everybody knows what he's capable of, when Donovan says, get out of the way, it's time for me to take over, most people are going to get out of the way and let Donovan take over because he can in moments. You have to be able to pick the right moments. And there was no way you were willing yourself back from down 3-1. There was no way that even in that game five, it was going to be a sustainable way to play basketball with Donovan having to do everything in the second half. And I think that's the point that he misses. That's where Donovan gets it wrong, is that what he wants to take over because he knows he has the capacity to do so. He manages to take everybody else out of the fold along the way. And I think that's something that, again, as I tell you, I would love the core four to stay together and those be guys that all are, once again, playing in 2025. It's going to require a shift in mentality in the playoffs. And it's going to require from more than just, hey, Darius in the playoffs that we've seen him play, hurt or not, has not shown up and performed the way he has in the regular season. That's a mentality change for me. Capable of making the shots. I watched him do it all year long, perform at a high level. And you hurting your toe, it was a problem. Didn't stop him from getting to the hoop. Multiple blown layups, multiple missed open three-pointers. Like, you have to be able to hit the shots. And a sprained ankle didn't stop Evan Mobley from being productive the way that he could have been all season long, the way that we saw him take over games all season long. A lot of the times it is Donovan in the backseat and taking a reserve and holding that until the fourth quarter when you need the explosion. Donovan didn't do that in the playoffs. If you're going to play one brand of basketball all season long and it's going to lead you to 64 wins and it's going to get you to be the top seed in the East, when you get to the playoffs, that same recipe should probably stand pat. You were able to take down basically every team that stood in front of you in the regular season by playing your brand of basketball. And when you get to the Eastern Conference semifinals, all of a sudden, that brand of basketball went away. The first time the Cavs felt real adversity in the playoffs, they reverted back to what they did under J.B. Bickerstaff, which was Donovan Mitchell taking charge and everything being centered around him and the ability of the Cavs' chances to actually go out and advance to the next round were essentially solely in the hands of Donovan Mitchell. Again, everybody else has to make shots, but the play style they had relied so heavily on Donovan. That's where the mentality change has to come in. If you're going to keep the core four together, it's a mentality change for Donovan the same way it is for everyone else. When they talk about the team not being mentally tough, that was something that Kenny Atkinson had brought to the table. I do think that when we talk mental toughness, sometimes it is the lack of reverting back to doing that exact thing. Trusting in what you have in front of you and what you've seen all year and not going back to what's comfortable. Not going back to the things that, well, it's worked in the past to at least get us, you know, close and into games, but it hasn't gotten us over the hump. But we're going to go back to it because it's what we're comfortable with and we know that it at least can find us some success. This team, the way that they're constructed, need to live and need to die by having every player show up and be able to perform on any given night. And there's obviously going to be nights where a couple of guys don't show up. That's why we talk about the depth. That's why this team, we talked about, you know, being able to run potentially 9-10 deep in the playoffs efficiently because you are supposed to be able to trust everybody from top to bottom. So when Ty Jerome had a bad night, well, guess what? Sam Merrill might step in and be able to light it up from three. Or when Darius has a bad night, hey, Ty, it's a night where we need you tonight. And again, it's not one fold. It's not strictly on Donovan. But it's definitely in the cards that Donovan has to change his mindset the same way everybody else does. That takeover can't come in the third quarter. Or if it does, it can't continue to happen in the fourth quarter. The team has to make shots, and Donovan has to trust everybody else to actually go through and make shots. Jax, am I crazy? Am I wild for thinking that I'm not saying the Cavs are better off without Donovan Mitchell, but for saying that's a possibility that's considered this offseason?
I think you're wild for saying it's a I think that's the absolute last person they're moving. No matter what. There's no way. I don't think it's a possibility.
He's been hurt the last 4 years. 4 years in the playoffs he's endured, I think in three of those a lower leg injury. The other one, I think against the Knicks, it was a broken finger, which is a separate cause. But every time Donovan's asked to do a lot, it comes down to the health. And what, he's 28, 29 years old right now? 28 years old, he'll be 29 by the time next year rolls around in full swing. How many years realistically do you have of Donovan being Donovan and being able to lead and be the star of a team?
You still got 3 or 4 years, I think, out of him to be able to play at this level.
I genuinely don't know that you do. Not in the playoffs. I haven't seen it show up in the way that it needs to for the entirety of a playoff stretch that would get you to the finals. Like, even if the Cavs had found a way to get back from 3-1, you get to an Eastern Conference Finals. I don't know what the health of Donovan Mitchell looks like in that series. Like, I think you have a couple years of Donovan being Donovan. His play style being heavily predicated on the ability to drive past defenders, the ability to use his quickness to get past everybody and find a way into the lane. And he's not going to be bad, but be the number one on a championship team. I don't know that that lasts for 3 or 4 years. I don't know that, you know, we're probably somewhere in between that handoff between Donovan and Evan. And at some point during the contract that they signed Donovan to, kind of expected that handoff to come along where, if nothing else, they're at least side by side and two number, you know, number one S guys on a championship team. I don't know that Evan's ready to take that step next year. And I would say he's probably not taking that step next year to being the number one guy in a playoff team or a deep playoff team, a conference finals, finals team. And I'd say Donovan's in probably danger of going past that. Again, if there's not a mentality switch, I think that's a big part of it. And maybe it's not you get better for 2025 into the 2025-2026 season, but you almost reset your window and bring it back for a 26-27. Right? Maybe you take a downslope on 1 year, but in the long term, you extend out your window and make it so you have three younger guys on a contract and have sort of reset your championship mindset with the idea that 2 years away, Evan will be a number one and the team will be right back to competing the way they were. Again, I think it's something that's on the table. I would imagine they get calls for Donovan this offseason, and I imagine that Kobe Altman's probably not immediately hanging up the phone saying absolutely not. I don't think he probably pulls a trigger either, because I think that's the other part of this conversation when we talk about breaking up the core four altogether. Kobe Altman built a team that everybody said wouldn't work, and the 1 year it came through in the regular season and worked, and then failed again in the playoffs. I think you probably get stubbornness out of Kobe Altman not wanting to move on from that and double down. Whether or not, you know, a good deal, not a great deal comes across the table or not, I think Kobe probably hits the brakes and says, hold on, I just watched those guys win 64 games, get injured in the playoffs. A year after everybody was calling for my job and telling me I didn't know how to build a basketball team, but we're going to run this thing back and see if we have it again. I think that's likely scenario number one. But I think in a Cavs long-term future, moving on from Donovan will be in the cards this offseason. It'll be something they listen to and something they heavily consider. Because I can't watch another playoff series that goes that way. Healthy or not healthy, Cavs were met with adversity in game one. And then it basically immediately transitioned into the Donovan Mitchell show with injuries in game two, but that didn't change between game three and game four. You were hit with adversity and it turned into the same thing that it's been. JB, Kenny, anybody else, the offense still somehow looked the same. They couldn't get to the basket and score. Nobody else could help out. And Donovan wasn't healthy enough or good enough to get you over the hump of a really good basketball team at the end of the day. 216-474-0092. We'll get to your calls as well. The Station Buzz coming your way in 5 minutes on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan. We'll talk to Daryl about everything that changes if he has different opinions now that the schedule is officially out. His opinions on a few of the individual games and where the Browns are headed. Again, that's coming up at 8 o'clock. But before we get there, we have to get to the most pressing things said by our station's guests today. Let's do it with the Station Buzz.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Let's kick things off. Still talking Cavs. Joe Vardon of The Athletic on with Nick and JP today on Afternoon Drive. And he talked about how Donovan Mitchell may be opening the door for a little bit of critiquing.
I believe that he was opening the door and or encouraging the criticism to come forth in the specific areas for how this team got beat. But he knows he played his tail off. He knows he played hurt. You know, saying what he said certainly opened the door for that, to some of the individual, like, sort of point by point, well, this is what went wrong and this is what you guys need to fix.
Yeah, I think it was actually really similar in a way that Kenny Atkinson did it halfway through the season, where he talked about this team and the addition that they could use in DeAndre Hunter. I thought that the way Donovan handled his end of season sort of presser was in a very similar manner. Everybody can look at this Cavs team in the way that they performed, healthy or not, and point to the ways that they got beat and how it happened, right? And I draw the Donovan Mitchell point to you, and I think that there's a part of this offseason where he goes through and he's aware of that fact as well. I also think that at the end of the day, the Cavs need to be more physical. They need to be tougher. That's mentally and physically. And as well, you kind of just go through and be like, you got to rise to the moment. Like, this team has to show up. They know that the talent's there. They proved it in the regular season. The talent is there to be a great team. You have to find a way to be a great team in the playoffs. And you have to find a way to execute in the playoffs. And I think that's for just about every single guy top to bottom on that roster. I think that you probably look at, you know, you went through and saw the Max Strus text. Max Strus probably needs to be one of the guys to show up. You know, if you're not going to come to play today, don't show up at all, stay home. Hey, that was a very similar message to Max Strus in Game 5. It's like, hey, your whole role on this team is to make shots, and you didn't make shots. The same thing. You can go for Jarrett. I don't necessarily that it goes for Evan Mobley in that last game, but it goes to definitely goes to Jared Allen, definitely goes to Darius Garland. Like, those are the places you have to show up. Everybody knows it. Everybody can stare at it and say the exact same things. Invite the criticism. Change what needs to be changed. And get this team to where they need to be. Part of that's health. Part of that's probably some moves that you're going to have to see in the offseason to get this team on a more competitive playing field with those teams that are just tougher. NBA talk, keep it going with the Cavs. Danny Green, Odyssey NBA insider, on with Baskin and Phelps today. And he talked about the core four and whether or not it's functional.
I think it's working. Obviously, you guys had a 60-plus game season. You just had a bad matchup. It looks like Indiana had beat you guys prior to the playoffs at home, I think once or twice. You know, you got DeAndre Hunter later in the season. Ty Jerome also didn't play. You know, it's just sometimes it's this way the cookie crumbles, right? Some guys have an off night. Some guys have an on night. You might not see another series where Tyrese Haliburton is going to go 5-for-5.25. You know, you might not see another series where Nembhard shoots 50% from, you know, like, they had a lot of things go right for them, and you guys had a couple of things go wrong.
So to a point, I agree with where Danny's at on the core four because, yes, it does work. There's times where I think you go through and you do say the regular season means something. But when you go, Tyrese Halliburton's not always going to hit all those threes. RJ Nembhard, Andrew Nembhard's not going to hit all those threes. And this team's not going to perform the same way for the Pacers. We've seen that team perform in a very similar manner in now multiple years. And it's a team that's physical and rises to the occasion the way that the Cavs don't. I don't think that you can look at it and say, well, sometimes you just get beat, and that's what happened to the Cavs. No, if you're the one seed, there's no excuse for really just being outplayed and just being outdone in the big moments. That's what makes a championship team, and the Cavs aren't looking to be regular season champions. I would really hope not, because that got you there this year. I don't think anybody's satisfied with the result. You have to find a way to show up in the playoffs, and that's where the core four has its problems. I have no doubt this team can be effective in the regular season. I have no doubt that the way that they're constructed and built is a way that a team can actually be successful. It's the individuals and rising to the moment. And how you fix that, I don't know. But that's what you actually have to go and fix. You have to outplay the Pacers. And you know what? There are shots that went down in that series, and Tyrese in the way that he shot, Andrew Nembhard and Miles Turner, that I'm like, man, these guys just aren't missing. And that's not who this team is on a night in and night out basis. But you know what? It happened 3 out of the 5 games. It happened multiple times on your own court. The Cavs have to show up and actually defend and be able to defend and be able to run up and down the floor and maintain a pace with the Pacers team like that and be able to beat them. Guys, you ended up in the exact same spot that the Milwaukee Bucks ended up in, where Giannis is trying to walk out the door. Very possible that he actually is gone after this season and he doesn't remain with Milwaukee. And you ended up with the same series result while they were down Damian Lillard for multiple games in that series. I'd like to think you're a better team than the Milwaukee Bucks. There is a part of the core four that works. There's also a part that doesn't. Jared Greenberg, NBA on TNT, also on with Afternoon Drive today. And Nick and JP asked him about whether or not you keep the core four together moving forward.
This is still a relatively young and inexperienced group as a collective. If we've learned anything from history in the NBA, is that it takes time to build. If you keep this group together and you play the long game, like a team like Milwaukee did a couple of years ago that resulted in a championship, like Denver did that resulted in a championship, you're going to see the fruits of your labor. This stuff does not happen overnight.
It doesn't happen overnight, but it should probably start to happen over the course of 3 years. And you probably should be advancing past a conference semifinals where it's the Indiana Pacers and the New York Knicks that are likely going to be playing in a conference finals. Like, those were not the two teams that everybody picked every year, or at the beginning of this year. Even at the end of the regular season, it's neither of the two teams that a lot of people picked. The Cavs are in a spot right now in the East that is wide open. And I think that's part of the reason why you keep the core four together and you do keep it moving the way that it is. But I don't think that the way that the NBA is structured now, the aprons in the CBA, that you can just go through and say, well, across history, you keep young teams together and it works. Your windows just don't open like that in today's current age. I mean, the Denver Nuggets are a team that people point to. The Denver Nuggets are not a shining example of success right now for, hey, you go through and you win a championship and you continue to get better year after year. They've then fallen off, declined. We look at a Nuggets team right now that's like, it's Jokic and it's Jokic. That's the entire team right now. You basically have everything on the shoulders of Nikola Jokic. The Cavs have to, again, actually show something. You're sitting around and waiting for it, and they're young, but they're also not just filled with, you know, four young superstars. You have guys who are reaching their prime, starting to exit their prime, and I don't think that window's as wide as a lot of people think that it is. And I think that you have to find a way to capitalize, whether that's reforming the way that the core four plays together in the playoffs, or probably in some way splitting up the core four. One of those things do have to give. And you might keep it together for next year. You go out like this, it's probably Kobe's job. It's definitely one or two of the guys of the core four. And it's going to be a lot of angry Cavs fans for the way that it went down. Bobby Marks, who is ESPN's NBA front office insider, on with Ken and Anthony this morning, talked about the difficulty of making moves for the Cavs given the second apron.
Extremely prohibitive. The extension of Donovan kicking in, and then certainly with Evan's extension, you know, changing. When they went out and made the DeAndre Hunter trade at the deadline, they basically paused the financial clock for about a year. And it's equivalent to going out and getting a home equity loan where you're getting money up front, but you're going to pay a significant interest rate down the road there. And that's what's basically going to happen with the Hunter trade. They're a second apron team right now. So what does that mean? They're $13 million. They're not just over, they're $13 million over. So they can't combine salaries in a trade. So if you're looking to try to trade Jared Allen and Max Strus for a $35 million player coming back, you're not allowed to do that.
And that's the real sort of kicker of everything, is that even if you want to split this team up, they have to find a deal. And the first deal that they do probably isn't going to be pretty, right? They're going to have to move off somebody, get somebody to take on a contract that's going to make that team better and likely the Cavs worse. But then you have the freedom to, you know, go through and actually make the adjustments in the trades. It's probably going to be a guy like Max Strus. If you can move Isaac Okoro, I'm sure they'd be thanking the heavens that somebody be willing to take him and that contract on, because he's not worth the money that you have for him right now, unfortunately. He's just not. Those are the type of things you're going to have to do to get out of the second apron. And then you have the freedom to go through and make your trades, but that's going to be a lot harder to do than it is on surface value. And there's a likelihood that when you do that, your team also gets worse for next year. The talent on the team is not the same, and you're going to be needing to get a haul back. But we're talking about getting one better player, aka killing the depth of the Cavs that have made them so good in the regular season for the last 2 years. I don't think that anybody looks at this team and says, well, you just need to kill a ton of the depth. You'd like to add a star, but it's going to come at the price of something else. And they're going to have to condition a hell of a lot better next year if they do. If they get rid of that depth, they're going to have to be well-conditioned and playing those 40 minutes a game, and Kenny Atkinson has to make a major change. All right, let's talk a little Browns as we get ready to talk to Daryl coming up in 8 minutes. Eric Edholm, NFL.com, on with Nick and JP today on Afternoon Drive, and he talked about the stars in the Browns locker room, or maybe the lack thereof.
Clearly, the expectations are not sky high for this team. And right now, there isn't that, you know, that one sort of marketable star on the team. Again, I'm not saying Myles Garrett isn't a star. You can look at it that way and take it as a slight. And I'm sure they'll use it as motivation on some level.
And talking about not getting to the primetime games for the Browns, which, guys, I think that if you look at it and you go through and you talk Browns, 3-14, no marketable star might be a little bit of a stretch, but no marketable star that's actively 100% in the lineup that you can put in a primetime game. The only way the Browns were getting put in one is if you went out and you said Shedeur Sanders is going to be our starting quarterback in 2025. You probably get a game. You probably do. But they didn't do that, and I don't think anybody believes that that's going to be the case. I think your only hope is that if Shedeur goes in and at least plays a good game, there's a chance you get flex later on in the season. But the way that the Browns are constructed right now, with no true quarterback in mind and with not a real way to go about and get everyone to put their eyes on it and then be interested nationally, the schedule makers made the right decision. You don't put the Browns in a spot where it could be Kenny Pickett starting a game, going up against God knows who. Where you're going to put the Lions Browns in primetime and have it be Joe Flacco against Jared Goff? Yeah, if I'm a Packers fan, maybe. Or maybe go a little wild out. If I'm an Arizona Cardinals fan, that sounds like a snooze fest that I'm not turning into. I'll check the score quarter by quarter. Thank you. All right, last one here. Mary Kay Cabot, Cleveland.com, on with Ken and Anthony this morning. And she talked about the difference going through Dylan Gabriel, Shedeur Sanders, and who has the lead.
You're asking if Shedeur moved up the depth chart? I'm going to say no on that. No, he did not. He had a nice rookie mini camp, but so did Dylan Gabriel. I thought they finished the rookie mini camp fairly even. There's a lot of feedback and a lot of input from the outside. The Shedeur Sanders world, the Sanders squad is one of the things that we are thinking about calling it. It rivals Manziel Mania and the Baker Bros. I mean, out in full force, everything is just even ratcheted up so much more than it was even during those Johnny and Baker years.
Yeah, the Shador supporters, and I can't talk very heavily because I have to look in the mirror. I'm one of them. Some people are out in full force. I think that in the realistic view, it sort of has to be that way. Not that Shador is guaranteed to be a star quarterback in the NFL and that he's guaranteed to get a real shot at going this year. But if you're the Browns, I mean, what else do you have to lose? And truthfully, the talent that's presented by Shador Sanders, we all know, is higher than Dylan Gabriel. I don't think that we're hiding that fact. Shador slipped to the fifth round. Wasn't because he's not a good quarterback, period. It was a lot of other things that sort of, you know, compiled together in that. They might be even in camp now. You get to one of these guys starting before the other, and it's not Shador. Well, Browns are probably going a hell of a lot more off of fit and who they liked pre-draft than the guy who's actually showing up in the room. Unless Shador just goes out there and plays awful. Yet to see that, though. All right. That'll do it for the Station Buzz. Coming back here in about 5 minutes, Daryl Reiter, our very own. We talked to him. Browns schedule out. What does it mean moving forward? Does it change our predictions on the Browns? It's at 8 o'clock right here on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.